I always look for the positive, the good, and starting with what is right, I build on it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. I always build with the good, and building with the good, I start with what is right, and I build on it. I build on it. I build on it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the instant inspiration. Very interesting. I have a mute button here, and I press the mute button, and it still leaves the sound out. So that's a very fascinating thing. I'll turn the volume down here and see if that makes any difference. Yeah, that makes a difference with the volume down. So someone has messed with my mute button. Can you imagine someone messing with your mute button?
No.
I always look for the positive, the good, and starting with what is right, I build on it. So, if the mute button will not mute it, I lower the volume, and if that won't do it, I pull the plug. So, you see, there were three alternatives right there. Another alternative would be to go over to the speaker and turn it off. Another alternative would be to go over to the speaker and turn it down. Another alternative would be to go to the speaker and turn it mute. Another alternative would be to unplug the speaker from the wall. You see, there's always a lot of opportunities that we have for handling what we call a problem. We can easily come up with a solution. Now, how many things did I mention? Click. I mentioned at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 solutions for one simple little problem of sound. Now, if that has so many solutions, man, do we have solutions? I was walking in the path this morning and thinking to myself, I wonder how many pieces of property we have in our estate here. We have 104 acres. Now, how many pieces of property? And you know, Ellen, you forget that the Maxwells had split their property. And so that's two,
yeah.
Not just one.
Right.
So we have 8 pieces of property, or is it 8 or 9? 8. 8 pieces of property. 8 separate pieces of property. That's really nice. Now, what does that mean? Doesn't mean a thing. Just means we have 8 separate pieces. We have 8 separate parcels. But I was counting them because I like to count, you know. And I'm walking the path, and I'm thinking, gee, what are all the good things that I can think for myself? What are all the good things that I can think for my world? And then, you know, I add them up, and I come up with some amazing figures sometimes. And one of the amazing figures, as I'm walking the path early in the morning, and I look up the sky, and I see Orion's Belt, and I see the Big Dipper and the North Star, and I think, well, let's just have some fun here, since I'm not doing anything else that's important, and I'll count the stars in the sky. And let's see, I'll count by billions. Let's see, 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion. And or better go trillion or zillion or whatever the next numbers are. That'd be interesting to know, too, wouldn't it? Not really. When we get to such astronomical numbers like that, it takes the fun out of it, because it doesn't mean a thing. They say about Bill Gates that if he'd bend over and pick up a $5 bill, he would be doing it while he's earning something like $500,000 per hour. Isn't that amazing? That's really amazing. We cannot conceive of numbers like that. And now I'd like to throw another little ball at all of you. If you think that you are alone in thinking your thoughts, you are incorrect. Because every thought you think is projected into the universal allness and becomes one as the universal allness. And so every thought you think is being thunk by one infinitely large number of beings, essences, whatever, that are returning that thought to you. Now, do you think that your thinking, your thought, is going to make your thought manifest? And the answer is no. Do you think that thinking your thought and not thinking another thought is going to make your thought manifest? No. How in the world are we going to look for the positive, look for the good, starting with right where we are and build on it, if we cannot even think our thought and have it be manifest? What happens? What happens when we think our thought? What happens when we have an idea of a concept? Well, for instance, what happens when we think of the concept house? The concept house already exists. The house that we have in our consciousness already exists. It already is perfect. It is already magnificent. It is already done. So we're not manifesting anything. We are revealing it. We are opening the inner self for what already is there. Now, you are a blind boy, and you are standing in the stable, and around you are a dozen horses. And as a blind boy, you say, I now have my perfect horse. And so one horse comes up and nuzzles you. It's an old army horse that put out the pasture 20 years ago, and he's ready to, you know, on his last legs. But he comes up and nuzzles you. And so the blind boy says, my perfect horse. And he's way backed, and he's ancient, and his teeth are falling out. Everything is wrong with him that can be wrong with the horse, and yet he's still living. And the little boy pets the horse, and the pet says, thank you. And the two are just as happy as can be together. Now, what is it that makes that horse the perfect horse for that little boy? He placed in his consciousness that he wanted the perfect horse to be his. He wanted to demonstrate the perfect. It was already there. Stables filled with lovely horses, many old, many young, foals, you know, fillies, what have you. And he wanted a horse. But the only horse that came to him, this little blind boy, was this ancient creature. And so he's petting the horse and saying, you're my horse, you're a good horse. And everybody around him says, no, you chose the wrong one. You know, let me bring a nice, no, I spoke my word, and this is the horse that I revealed in my consciousness. So the world wants to take that ancient horse away from him because he doesn't have a very long life. And the little boy says, but no, that's my horse. And so then they bring him some young, bright horse, and the horse looks at the boy and reaches over and smells him and nips him on the ear or something like that. And they say, this is the perfect horse for you. And the boy says, no, that other horse is perfect for me. Now, wasn't it wonderful that the boy was blind and he could not see how beautiful all these other horses looked and how sad his horse looked? But what did he and the horse have in common? They each had their infirmity, you might say. They each had their problem. And the little boy didn't look at the horse with his problem of blindness. He looked at the horse with his problem, if you will, with his condition of love, with his condition of liking himself, with his condition of, hey, I'm getting a horse. And the horse looked at himself, hey, I'm a perfectly good horse. I'm 25 years old. I may be ancient in horse terminology, but I'm just a young buck here, you know. And he pranced around there with his sway back and his teeth falling out and his eyes all bleary and what have you. But and then the little boy says, I have my perfect horse. And he says, hey, that's for me. And he goes over to the little boy, and he doesn't know the little boy cannot see him. He doesn't know the little boy does not know that he has infirmities. And he doesn't know the little boy has infirmities, even though he sees the white and red cane. But he goes up to the little kid and snuggles him. And the little kid snuggles him. and they have a perfect relationship. Now, what's going to happen to that horse? That horse is going to get younger and younger and younger. That horse is going to become the mascot for the boy. The boy is going to just stick his leg over the top of the horse because his back is bent down so low, and he can just get right on him. And the horse is going to be gentle with the boy because the horse knows that it's not a young buck anymore, but it's one who's been through the troops. And so the little boy has his ideal horse. And the ideal horse is there not because he can see him, not because he can know anything about him, but because he has him in his heart. And he visualizes him in his heart. And he sort of creates him, not creates him, what's the word I'm saying? He brings him, reveals him. He reveals him. Isn't it something I use words and it just slips, of course, once in a while? But he reveals the boy. He reveals the horse. The horse revealed the boy, and the boy revealed the horse. And so they thought they were a great team, and they were. You see, I always look for the positive, the good, starting with what is right where I want to build on it. Now, what is it that you would like? Would you like a healthy body? A healthy mind, a healthy relationship, a healthy checkbook, you know. What would you like? Okay. Now, has your checkbook ever been in good condition? Yeah. I had a lot of money at this time and not so much there and so on. Well, take your checkbook in your mind at the time you had a lot of money and visualize that and realize that and reveal that in your experience, and you watch. Your checkbook will fill up to support the concept you have for itself. Oh, come on, Herb. Yeah. The come on, Herb. That's just the thing that makes you lose. That's just the thing that makes you a winner. A winner of having nothing. And this is what people do. They have nothing. Because they put the negative concept in motion, and they think that they're putting the positive concept in motion, and they're not. The little boy wanted a horse, and what came to him and loved him out of a whole stable full of beautiful horses was this old guy who was ready for loving, you know. Now, could any other horse be the same for him? Sure. Could he have had a perfect horse? Sure. Could he have had a horse that was in ideal young condition, just ready for the boy? Sure. But he didn't want that. He wanted a horse that was already willing to share love with him. He wanted a horse he didn't have to train or break, as the term goes. You know. He didn't want to have to break his horse. He wanted a horse that he could just jump on and ride and feel confident in riding. Now, then he had it. Are you willing to close your eyes and speak your word? I live in my ideal body right now. And can you visualize your body being ideal? Your body being whole and perfect and wonderful right now? If you can, it's yours. If you can't, it never was yours. It never was yours because you haven't the ability to visualize it in your being. I say to you, what kind of a house do you want? You're going to get married and you are going to have a house and you want to have a house. What kind of house do you want? Well, I like big families and I like to have maybe about 6 or 8 bedrooms. Oh, really? You're going to stay in the same house that you started out in? Well, why not? Okay, then go for it. But how do you visualize that house? A bunch of rooms, you know, around the patio? 3 stories high, 4 stories high, bedrooms all over the place? Or do you visualize it as a very lovely, gentle cottage where you and your wife can get to know each other and get to share with each other and have it for the first couple of years with one child or none, you know? What is it that you want the house to do? Do you want the house to be supportive of your love? Maybe buy an acre or 2 acres or more. And have a nice house right in the middle of it, and then add to it as your needs require. And pretty soon you have none, baby 2, baby 3, baby 4. Who knows if there will be more, you know? It's just a matter of opening up the door to whatever your consciousness can adore him. So just plan this for yourself. Plan this for yourself. Visualize for yourself what you would like, how you would like your world to be. Not how it is or how your parents did it or how somebody else does it, but how do you do it? And when you visualize for yourself how you would do it, then you have everything in perfect order. And then you experience it. There's nothing that says you cannot have a house. Nothing that says you cannot have a perfect friend. Nothing that says you can have lots of money or whatever pleases you. Nothing that says it except you. And when you say, I have it now, and let your mind flow in that channel, then you have it. It's as simple and clear as that, and it's difficult. Because for us to keep our thought one-pointed while we are having a problem, for us to go through the flu or go through pneumonia and keep our thought on the idea, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, we must tell other people all about it because we feel sorry for ourselves. We would like to have their pity for us and their sorriness, their sympathy for us because we feel sorry for ourselves. Can you afford to get whole and perfect without having one get well card? Nobody writes me any get well cards. Nobody comes to visit me. Nobody. Thank God. Thank heaven that nobody comes to visit you and makes you feel even worse. Just realize you are now whole and perfect. And there's nobody to contradict it because they cannot see it. And the old horse loves you, you know, like Tipper, loves you regardless of what you're going through. And they're not saying, oh, I wish you were better, I wish... They just say, hey, you're the greatest, I like being with you, you're fantastic, you know. They do not think one second that you have an illness. Not one second that there's a problem there. Now this is what I may use this term, a real friend would be. Never one second seeing you as a problem. But do you see yourself as a problem? And that's what we're all tied up about here. Do you see yourself as having a problem? If you do, it's yours, and it always will be yours. I'm always looking for the positive. I'm always looking for the good. And starting with what is right, I build on it. Think on these things. It's yours. You want that horse? Who says a blind boy can have a horse? A blind boy. Does he get it? Sure. Who says you can have a perfect relationship? You do. Who says you can't have a perfect relationship? You do. Who says you're ill or you're healthy? You do. Now, let me say something to you which is not very pleasant. Whatever the world sees in you is what you see in yourself. And if you see yourself fantastic, that's how the world sees it. If you see yourself not fantastic, that's how the world sees it. So make up your mind. What kind of a joker are you going to be? One who sees yourself not fantastic? Or you're going to be like a master and see yourself fantastic? I say, let's be a master, see ourselves fantastic, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And I love you. 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 I love you.